Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much. Hanging out with you. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Skip Weissman's here. Skip's a new friend. Skip is a workplace communication expert. He's here to talk to us about what he says are five critical communication mistakes that you and I are making that's costing us money. How about that? Communication mistakes. Costing us money. I want to know about that. I'm sure you do, too. Skip Weissman, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you back. So do tell, Skip, what's the first mistake we're making?
Well, interesting. The first mistake is if you go into almost any organization, you probably experience this. People always blame communication as a problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Lack of communication.
Right, or poor communication, or somebody not getting some message somewhere. Mm-hmm. But it's usually defined very generically. Nobody really drills down to define the actual communication issue. So we blame communication as a problem, or we identify it as a problem, but we never define the communication problem to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. We just leave it sort of open-ended, and everybody nods their head in the conference room and agrees with it, but there's no accountability to fixing it. There's no definition of what really has to happen to make it happen. And so we leave the room, and everybody feels like we've done something, and then 6 months later we come back and we have the same conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless you really define it, you know, in a way that you can do something about it, it just becomes this negative.
So define the communication problem.
Right.
What would be a typical definition?
Well, it depends on the organization. Here's a typical example. I did facilitated a strategic planning session a couple of years ago for a large nonprofit in our area. There's 24 employees. We put them around three conference room tables and eight people each, and each of the three tables had their own department or division, and they defined a different communication issue that was important to them. So everybody was defining communication, but each one had a different one. So one had an issue with the way their division director was talking to people,
mm-hmm.
and he was disrespecting them, condescending to them, or whatever. Another table defined it that, well, when they brought on employees, the onboarding and the orientation wasn't very good, and people didn't know what their jobs were early enough in the thing, and they were waiting for people to give them stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
Another table defined it, well, we're learning about initiatives from our customers who are coming and asking for things we don't know anything about, and we look stupid. So
this company's got a lot of problems.
Well, they did at the time, and so this happens all the time. So we use communication as a blanket thing to blame issues, but we never define the real issue to do something about it, because that might cause some hurt feelings or
with all those problems, where would you start with an organization like that?
Well, you have to identify.
Would you try to find one common denominator? Is there one person or one practice that seems to be triggering all these?
Well, without blaming anybody, usually stuff starts at the top and flows downhill.
I believe it.
And so we really have to start at the top, and you start just prioritizing. Like, what's the biggest one causing the biggest problem? And let's just start chipping away at it. And when you get people involved in solving their own problems, it can be very empowering. If you empower people to solve their own problems, they all have great ideas. Well, let's flush out these ideas.
Well, if you let people solve their problem, though, that presumes that the person at the top is going to get out of the way and let them do it.
That's got to be one of the one of the agreements before we go in there, we're going to definitely allow people to look at how they can help you do your job even better and make the company even better. And that's where employee engagement comes from, when you let people solve their own problems and do their own work and bring great ideas to a workplace. That gets people excited. They start taking ownership because they realize they have some responsibility in the end result.
Right. All right, what's next?
So, well, that's number one. Number two is these are three that all fit together and work sort of insidiously together. And I call it the poor performance perpetuation spiral. That's a tongue twister and a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
And this came to me really just about a year ago when I was facilitating a seminar with about a dozen business owners and executive directors of nonprofits. And I asked the question, so what are the communication issues that you struggle with most that are causing you pain? And he said, you know, I struggle giving people feedback on their performance. I said, well, okay, tell me more about that. And he said, well, I realized when I try to give people some feedback that I was not clear on the front end of giving people their marching orders and asking them to do what I needed them to do. I was unclear, didn't give them specifics in their role and responsibility or how to do it. And when they were doing it wrong, I realized this, and I said, so I held back on giving them feedback, and I sort of procrastinated on it because I knew I didn't do it right at the outset.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, I was not, again, candid and direct with them of the changes that they needed to make. And so those are three all in one big block there that sort of cause us downward spiral.
Right.
So I call
Say
it
those three again real quick.
Right. So one is a lack of specificity.
Right.
When we're giving performance instructions, job descriptions, expectations, behaviors, and things like that. So lack of specificity around that component. That causes us a lack of immediacy and promptness in giving feedback because we question ourselves and we don't want to put something on the employee that we didn't give them initially and make them feel bad because it's our fault, right? And then so we lack directness and candor in giving that feedback. And so these three sort of insidiously work in this spiral that goes down because we don't step up.
That last one I see more often than people would think. And if you have an employee who needs to have some instruction given to them,
mm-hmm.
and when I say instruction, you know, I'll let you interpret
right.
what I mean by that.
Right.
If there needs to be a lowered eyebrow, a level stare, a daddy voice, maybe something like that, you know, where this employee's not you know needs to be fixed, needs to be corrected, needs to be
right.
straightened out. If you're not candid, if you're not completely, you're not doing them any favors if you don't speak to them. I'm not talking about being disrespectful or rude or anything like that. But that's one of the things that I see more often than people would think. What do you think, quickly?
I think a lack of directness and candor is an epidemic in the world, and especially in the workplace.
Because of political correctness, right?
I'm sorry?
Political correctness.
That and just our own self-esteem and self-confidence in being able to, and you said something I want to touch on, like disrespectful and things like that.
Right.
People, especially even business owners that are running multi-million dollar companies, have this issue with being direct and candid and being respectful.
Let's
and I think
talk
those
about
two
this
things,
some more. Gonna,
those two things are mutual.
Get into this some more after this message, these messages. Skip Weissman, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.